Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I am so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Mr. Jim Pagamsis. Jim, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you very much, Tanya. Yes, it's yours truly here. I'm excited to share tonight the four pillars of diversity. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background. I worked with FedEx Freight here in Toronto for 7 years, from 2003 to 2011. And during that time, I had an amazing opportunity there. But in 2009, I actually applied to become a diversity member. Many Fortune 500 companies have this opportunity available to them, so I wanted to participate. And believe it or not, I applied once, declined, twice, declined, three times, declined, fourth time I got in. Now you wonder, why are you trying so many times to get in? Because I felt that I had a lot to give and a lot to receive. And when I did get accepted, it completely changed the outlook I had, not just on my life, but the impact I have on others. So I had actually a chance to speak in Harrison, Arkansas in September of 2011. And Harrison is way down south of the United States. And went down there for almost 4 days, and I had a chance to speak not once, but twice, but three times from stage to about 200 people. And I spoke on mentorship, and it was a great experience. And one part of it that really struck me was the fact of how diverse the U.S. is. Here in Toronto, we're cheating. Here we have diverse cultures across the board. In some other parts of the world, sometimes it's not that diverse. So what I want to share with you is the four pillars. So the four pillars go as follows: people, resources, relationships, and strategies. Now, each of those, okay, requires decisions. This is going to be interesting because whatever you decide with those four pillars will affect each of those pillars, okay? So if one of the pillars is not working well, then it will fall apart. So what I've realized is all these four pillars are good. So we're going to talk about the first one, which is all people. And one of the key things with me with how I have not just looked at my life but looked at the connections I have made is that people send me connection requests all the time. LinkedIn, Facebook, Periscope today. I was on Periscope, Twitter. And you know what? I don't actually accept them all, believe it or not. And you may think, ooh, you're not accepting all connections? Actually, I don't, because I don't know who they are. I can do a little due diligence, but I don't. And I could accept everybody, then I've had thousands of people, but the people that are my connections I value. And so why this is important is that we're surrounded by different types of people. And when you're especially growing yourself or you're growing a business, you have to understand who's around you. When I first started the PSA in 2013, I wasn't attracting the right people to the PSA who were actually not committed. It was very, very frustrating for me. And I picked up the phone. At that time, I was speaking to Tanya and then some other members in the PSA. And I was just getting frustrated, but I kept pushing on. And I think sometimes we want to make this impact, but we say we don't have the right people in our network to make it happen. And I don't think that's really a fair thing to do. I think if you go out there and you meet people, you go out there networking, you work with people face-to-face first, you build your network that way. That's the best place to start. The book I wrote called Get Connected in the 21st Century, Online and Offline Strategies That Work, I really force people to work on offline first before you go online. The reason is the initial people you're going to work with are the people that you've met, and those are the most important relationships that you will have. And no business is going to work without people. I'll say it again: no business works without people. And I had a chance when I went to the conference this past June with the PSA. I met some awesome people, and forever changed the way I look at myself, look at my network, and I had some amazing conversations with Dylan Raymond, who was my roommate there for a few days. I had conversations with Michael Hoffman there, the second last day, that really realized how well that I could carry myself and make an impact, and many more. And so when you're looking at people in your business or people in your network, realize they're your cheerleaders. They're the people who want to make you want you to win. Today I had a meeting with an author. I've known him for a couple of years, and about an hour and a half, we put together a plan to work with him and myself to execute on a seminar that he wants to do. So I told him this is what I want to do, and he agreed. And the reason I say this is that we've had a long-term friendship, but not till about a year ago where we actually progressed and narrowed down the focus as to what we want to do. It made the meeting so much simpler that we're on the same sentence, on the same word, rather than speaking from here or speaking from there. So people are very important. Let's switch to online now. Now, you can easily meet 20 people online tonight. You can go and accept a whole bunch of people on Facebook and connect with a whole bunch of people on Twitter and connect with a bunch of people on LinkedIn. Yay, big party. But what does that mean? So a number of years ago, in 2010, I started a spotlight feature on my blog. The reason I did that was I saw an article in the paper where they had spotlighting entrepreneurs, and I said, wow, I have all these amazing connections, but they're much more than a connection. There's actually a person there, and that person is actually doing some of their life. Well, I did, at that time, I had a mastermind group. I did about six gentlemen at that time, and basically I asked two dynamic questions, and you supply the answers, and the thing took off. It was unbelievable. So that's how important people are, okay? The next is resources. Resources is an important pillar because you have resources around you. I have resources from Tanya. I have resources from other PSNOs that I can email. I can actually call. I can actually ask a question if I'm connecting with them on Facebook. And you have to ask questions. So I had a challenge recently where I want to redo my website. And this came up in actually San Antonio. I was talking to a member, and she says, well, can we have a new website? Oh, I said, blah, 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 this, and this. He goes, no excuse. You got to get it done before the end of July. I said, I'm like, what? July? You mean this July? Yes. So they said, I'm not going to hold you accountable, but from this morning forward, you get it by the end of July, you have to tell me. And I'm like, okay. So, as a matter of fact, I checked tonight. I emailed my friend my information. It is up tonight. Yay, party, right? So now I can email them and say, I did it, right? I didn't need them to email me because I was already on it. But I looked up what date we were on the 29th. I go, oh, boy, I better get this done. So I had the resource out there, and I approached him. I told him the situation. He sent me what he needed, and it got done. Yippee! Resources are out there. And I think that sometimes we may think that the resources is not there for us to use. One of my PSA members is Zeeshan Raza. We actually are collaborating to do something together in November. And he asked me a couple of questions regarding the event. And because I talked to an awesome lady, my apologies, I don't remember her name, but she was a PSA member, who came to the event in June, she gave me some mini strategies there at the Wednesday before we convened to apply. I applied one of them, and it worked, right? And because I was coming from a point of expertise. So resources are very, very important. The next one is strategies. Strategy is something that I thrive on. I teach networking strategies. I teach social media strategies. Strategy is what differentiates. I've been a top trainer with Constant Contact as a solution provider and authorized local expert for 4 years, okay? And a lot of people tell me, well, what makes you different than the person who did your social media down the street? And it doesn't take me long, within 5 minutes, to tell them why. And I've actually gained clients that way because I know what I got. I know my competitors do, but I know what I got. And I just have two people that I'm going to actually register by the end of the week because of the fact that I know my product. I can answer all their questions. They don't have to go and call the coach. We have amazing coaches in constant contact, but I know my products. I know that I've had a long list of satisfied clients from real estate agents, PR agencies that use the product, that know it. And most of them are very amazed how detailed I know the product. I get training because of it. So the strategies are important. I had a meeting with a couple of days ago with someone who I've been covering for the PSA. And he came to one event, and he is going to be joining probably in August. He was having some health issues. And I asked him, he says to me, no reason to sell me, Jim. I came to a couple of events. And I asked him, I'm not selling you. No, I know you're not selling me, but he knows already what he's going to get. He knows that this, and this are going to happen. I don't have to convince him. He was convinced at the first meeting he came, which was a while back, and he came to the second just to make sure. So, again, everyone needs to make their own decision, but if you apply those strategies, and I have to admit that over the past year and a half, from listening to the monthly calls that Tanya does on different strategies that you have to have in your speaker's business, there are some areas which I've done fantastic. I'm like, yay! Others, not so good. And so what I do is I seek out individuals who do well in that area. And I have a good proposal. I put up a couple of people who I'm going to work with. But again, it's determined to do that. And this is where I go back and I listen to some of the old webinars. I actually make detailed notes so I can go back and look at them. So again, it's having those strategies in place. And if you understand those strategies and how they work, it'll make the four pillars work more effortlessly, better together. So the last one is relationships. So we covered people, resources, strategies, and the last one's relationships. And actually, that's the most important one. Relationship is what holds the four pillars together. In my early years, when I went to when I was in college, I went to a college here in Toronto. It was called Centennial College, and I took a business administration course. And one of the fondest memories I have is we had to do this group work, and everyone had a chore. And all the groups I did, I always had one student who just never did what was supposed to do, and it drove me crazy. So it put more pressure on the other two students in my group to make it happen. And this happened a few days. I have to admit, I don't know whether it was wrong, maybe it was attracting the wrong student, or just it is what it is. But one of the students, I'll never forget it, he comes up to me, and I challenged him. I said, we put a lot of effort into this. Why is it that you want to participate? And he had all this huge story. And I stopped him, and I said, you know what? Everyone has a story in this group. He does, I do, and him do. But we don't let that story get in the way when we have a goal to achieve. And I'll never forget it. He never missed a meeting after that. My other two members couldn't believe that I called them out. Why I tell you this story is sometimes those relationships, you have to call them out. You have to. And myself, I had, admittedly, I'll be very authentic with you, last year, I had a little bit of drama at PSA. And I didn't take it really well because I valued those relationships. And what I realized later on, after much coaching, a little bit of therapy, I call it, was the fact that I did nothing wrong. The people were having issues in their lives that had nothing to do with how I was looking at the situation. So I made a commitment in 2015 that I will not fall into the drama. And guess what happened? In January, more drama. But what happened in January was I didn't respond to it. I just let it go. I think I did approach Tanya, or I think I did approach Tanya in an email or a phone call. I did, and I did nothing about it. Wouldn't you know it, 69 days later, everything was sort of back to where it is. But again, I didn't freak out because I valued that relationship, and now that relationship is even stronger because I didn't overreact. Now, this has happened in other areas and other people that I know, and I actually shared a story with a friend of mine a couple of days ago, and he said to me, well, isn't that interesting? It's how you responded to the situation rather than how you reacted. And I said, exactly, because either I'm gonna keep that relationship or I'm gonna lose it. And I'm a little bit of a socially engaged connector. I like to make everyone happy if I can. Now, sounds a little bit of a pipe dream, I know, but you know what? I truly do. And I think that it carries a lot of weight moving forward. So that's why relationship is something that we always have to review on an ongoing basis, because I think there's some people who are part of our inner circle may not be the best ambassadors for us to keep in our life or in our business. And this year, last couple of years, I have done that. And there's some people I don't engage on Facebook, LinkedIn, nothing. I do not talk to them. If I meet them, how are you doing? And I keep them arm's length. That's it. Okay? I have made a decision. It may seem a little harsh, ladies and gentlemen, but this can either make or break the way you look at your social circle, whether you're in business or you're in your professional look. This is important. So I'm going to review, and then I'm going to top it off in the end with a little bit of a combination here. So at the end of the day, there's four pillars. There's people who you need. There's resources, which you have. There's strategies, which you know. And relationships, which are interconnected either online or offline, that you need. Okay, you need them. But with a little bit of an asterisk, sometimes you have to make some decisions. And early on, a lot of my early mentors always harped on this. And to tell you the truth, I kind of maybe thought I understood it then, but I understand it more. Why? Time has passed. I've had a chance to be mentored by others. I've had a chance to pay it forward and mentor a couple of young entrepreneurs here in the last 6 months, and seeing the impact that not just they can make on myself, but I made on them. It's been really, really exciting to see that. So the one thing, there's one catalyst, and it's called decisions. All these four pillars involve decisions. Decisions that will go left, decisions that will go right. The onus is on you to make the best decision. Not the right decision, the best decision. And sometimes it's going to be like, oh, no, what am I going to do? If that's the case, you pick up the phone. You call your mentor. You bring it out. It may be a little uncomfortable to do that. I come from there. But at the end, if you don't deal with it, then you're fighting a lonely battle on your own. And then you're not going out and achieving your goals, achieving your dreams, which I think we all should. And I realize that I can. And I push myself every day harder and harder to do what I need to do. Yes, like tonight, a little bit of relaxation. I was excited to do this talk. I was actually doing some covert listening. I actually went and read a couple of chapters of some books that I really liked just to kind of get in a frame of mind on this. But at the end of the day, the four pillars are important areas for you to not to overanalyze, but to understand that they all are interconnected. And if one of them is not working, fix the other. If two of them are working, then you got things. So be more cognizant of the four, the decisions you make to all four, and how they affect each other. Now, it may seem a little psychoanalytical here. It may be a little bit. But we are human beings. So this is what I'm going to leave you with. a little while back, there was a gentleman who I had met. And he wasn't really exactly the happy person. So I had a decision to make. Do I not deal with this guy, this individual, or do I make an effort to work with him? So I decided I'm going to actually work with this guy. I know I spent 25 minutes telling you this story, but I did. What happened was, is it just took a coffee. It just took sit down a coffee to kind of air things out a little bit. He had some stuff going on, some pretty serious stuff. And I just listened. And by the end of the conversation, he really said to me, he says, I look forward to being part of the PSA. And I was totally shocked. I was like, what? We weren't talking about the PSA. We were just talking a general conversation. And he said to me, he said, I thought this was going to be a very short meeting. And I said, you thought that. I knew that there's a good person in there. He says, there is. Just there's a lot of stuff going on. So it involved me listening. Now, for many who don't know me, listening for me is becoming a little bit of an art form and patience. But because I listened, I heard about a great story. I heard about a great person. And the bonus one is, you'll be a PSA member in the next 30, 60, 90 days. Wow. Patience is a virtue. And then I got a PSA member. I didn't even think I was going to get that part. I wasn't even going after that. I didn't have anything with me. But he understood that the point is I respected the relationship. So I want to leave you this story because we have those opportunities every day. And I am proud that I had a chance to not just start the PSA, grow the PSA, interact with some amazing members in San Antonio, and also here, via Facebook and via email. And I realize those are relationships that are going to be moving forward. And that's why I believe in the vision so much. And that's why I was so excited to go down and meet Tanya and Michael and the family and all my new 100 members that I met there, is because they all have that impact. And if I just remember that part, like I did remember, like I was looking back at some of the pictures, we had way too much fun. But, and the thing was, we had fun, but we did learn. We went for an amazing dinner. It was, fabulous. That dinner was, went to a Mexican restaurant. It was awesome. I can't wait to do it next year again. So, again, those are what's important. So I was very excited to share these four pillars because they're an integral part of what makes everything work together. So I'm just going to repeat one more time. There's people, there's resources, there's relationships, and there's strategies. And each of them involve a decision. So if you want to learn more about Jim Pagiampsis, you can actually go to the Public Speakers Association website, type in search, type my name in, you'll see my information. I've actually added a link to my website where you can download some of the chapters of my book. It'll be there tentatively now in the next few months. Then I'm going to take it down and put some new things on there. But again, it's all about sharing it, and I'd love to not just speak about it, but write about these topics, and I look forward again to continuing the education process. And again, our main goal with the Public Speaking Association is change the world from the front of the room. And that's what we do every day. Thank you.